we're recording again. Mr. Smith, interpret the cross-examination, Mr. Shaw.
Good afternoon, Mr. Shaw. Bruce Smith, our representative field and our properties in this matter. Isn't it true that staff was charged with defining the study area?
As far as I know, they were, yes.
Okay, and from your review of the report, that's what they did, correct?
Yes.
And I believe you testified that you don't have any opinion whether the staff determined the study area was reasonable or unreasonable, correct?
That's right.
But I want to confirm, if staff's defined study area was reasonable, you would agree that there is water available for appropriation?
That's what the report indicates, yes.
Okay, and that would be at least the second 100 staff identified?
Yes.
I believe you also testified that as part of your charge, you didn't do any individual analysis of any of the individual applications that are on the Exhibit 5, correct?
Not individually, no.
Okay. So, for instance, my applicant is 1163-32499, so you did look at that one individually?
That's correct.
I have a couple of questions about this the TICE analysis that you looked at, or that you performed. You did that, correct?
I did.
Okay. And as I understood your testimony, you did the TICE analysis to look at connectivity between Center Cone and the study area, correct?
That's the primary reason, yes.
And I think in your report, in your testimony today, you acknowledge that the TICE is a fairly simplistic approach, correct?
Correct.
It's a tool, not a model.
Correct.
Okay. And TICE is based on a number of assumptions, isn't it?
Yes.
One of those assumptions is that there's zero recharge, correct?
Yes.
Do you really think it's reasonable to assume that there's zero recharge in that study area? Think there is recharge?
Yes, there's some recharge.
Pardon?
There is some recharge.
Okay. So when you ran your TICE analysis, did you assume the maximum pumping rate for 40 years? You assume no recharge, even though you just admitted there is recharge.
Yeah.
And you based it on maximum pumping rate, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 40 years, correct?
Let me be sure we're talking about the same thing for maximum pumping rate.
Okay.
We did not take the diversion rate on irrigation rate, for example, and use that 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We took the volume for that irrigation right and converted that into a diversion rate for 365 days, 24 hours a day.
Okay, so there are 4 irrigation rights. So you took the volume based on the pumping rate for those irrigation applications and converted that to instantaneous diversion rate. Is that correct? Or did you use the instantaneous conversion rate that's in the application?
We did not use the instantaneous diversion rate for irrigation. We took the annual volume per acre and converted that into a diversion rate for 365 days.
Okay. For the municipal applications, you took the instantaneous conversion rate?
No, I think we took the volume. Understanding the instantaneous diversion rate is just that. The volume is a better analysis of the water that they use over a year.
Okay. So what was your instantaneous diversion rate that you used in your TICE analysis?
Well, for example.
I assume it was one number, correct?
It was one number for each of these new appropriations.
But you totaled them all up?
No, you apply each one to a different location because they're not, these are spatially distributed, where your well is not the same as the well that Mr. Semenko's client, that Mr. Creamer's client. So you take Mr. Creamer's client volume for the year, convert that into a diversion rate, and to locate it where his proposed well is going to be. And you do the same thing for your client. And many of you had multiple wells, and usually the case was, if they were close together, we'd use one well and do the percentage total for that well. And we did that so the diversions were spread across all of the development areas. It wasn't one number.
So you assumed where the diversion rate for each individual application might be based on multiple points of diversion?
Based on the applications, yes.
Okay. But if there were multiple points of diversion, you picked one of them to use, is that correct?
It depended. If there were several of them, I can't remember which application, but it seems like they were spread out aerially over some distance. And for a situation like that, it'd probably take two or three. So I didn't try to combine wells located a long distance apart.
What information did you use to assume you knew where the points of diversion for the wells would be?
The applications.
So you just took the points of diversion and you just picked the well site?
No, I plotted them all first to see where they were located, or as nearly as I could plot them based on the application. I think they were all to the nearest 40-acre tract, some of them were to 10 acres. And then I grouped them by just being co-located or near each other. Shekinah is the one I remember because they had a whole string of wells, I think one in every quarter, and I plumped one well right in the middle for that particular transfer application.
So is it fair to say that you made your determination of where you thought the well would be based on the points of diversion in the application?
Yes.
Not necessarily where the individual application would actually drill the well.
If it was just one well, yes, but if it was multiple wells, I combined them.
Okay. So your conclusion was that pumping in the study area is going to propagate into Center Cone, correct?
Yes.
You know where Indian Creek is?
It's
Indian Creek. It's the very top of the study area.
Right.
Do you really think that pumping in Indian Creek in and of itself is going to propagate into Center Cone?
Like I said, I didn't examine individual wells. I looked at the wells individually to locate them and then took the combined impact. So the impact that I believe I saw from the combined effort, combined applications, I didn't try to isolate to one application or another. It just was a combined impact.
Okay. So just so I understand, you took an individual application with multiple points of diversion. You assumed a well location for that application.
Yes.
Then you took the next one and assumed it for that one. The next one, assumed it for that one. The next one, all eight of them, then you combined them and came up with a calculation of a diversion rate based on volume. Collectively took all of that to decide, to run the Tice equation, to decide if there was connectivity between the study area and Center Cone. Is that correct?
No, we kind of had a disconnect there. I took them all individually and put them into the program that does the Tice analysis individually. I didn't combine them. So the program knew the location of your wells relative to the location of all of the other applicants' wells, and the amount of pumpage from those different wells. So it was never combined, never lumped into a single well. They were spread out over the area.
No, I apologize. I didn't mean a single well. But you took all eight applications?
All eight applications, yes.
Combined the pumping rates for all of those based on assumed well locations. And you ran the ties based on that to determine if there was connectivity between the study area and the center line.
That's right.
I don't think I have any further questions. Thank you.
Great. Mr. Kramer?
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Shaw.
Good afternoon, Mr. Kramer.
First, I'd like to refer to Exhibit 3 also. You have that in front of you?
I do.
And in page 12, third paragraph, it discusses, you have it, but discussion there about preference for processing approval of applications relative to other pending applications. You see that?
Yes.
Then there's a statement that mentions that policy changes in response to an Idaho Supreme Court decision, May 26, 2011, may affect that processing. Does that refer to the Idaho Power Company versus Department of Water Resources decision?
Yes, it does.
Can you tell me what policy changes the department has made in response to that are relative to this case?
I don't know that we're saying policy changes that have occurred, but may occur. My impression is it gives a different meaning to an application and a permit than perhaps what we believe they were before.
And I have a question or two about the Tice analysis that you did, too, to discuss at page 18 of Exhibit 3, which, as I understand now from the discussion you had with Mr. Smith, you set up the analysis initially to look at the effects of existing water rights on the groundwater levels in the two areas, the comparison area and the study area, after pumping for 20 years. Is that correct?
That's correct.
When you looked at the existing rights, did you look at the water rights? Did you include water rights, either existing rights of Orchard Ranch that are proposed for transfer, involve 2,975 acre feet of water for irrigation, or the 1,476 acre feet of the Shekinah existing water rights? Were they included in that initial run?
I don't believe Shekinah was included because it was outside of the immediate area at its present location. The Orchard one, I believe, was included because, as I recall, it's coming out of the critical area. So we took all of the rights in the critical area and put them in first in our analysis.
Then when you ran the second analysis, did you included the Shekinah right in the second analysis as a new water right?
We did.
Did you also include the Orchard irrigation water right in the new analysis also?
I believe we did.
Would that be a double counting of that depletion?
That would have been a double counting of the Orchard depletion. Right.
I'd like you to have Exhibit 4 in front of you. I have a question about Exhibit 4, the discussion related to question 3 that you were discussing there, page 8. Paragraph A and paragraph B both deal with the issue of this 9.8 CFS of the annualized diversion rate for the 8 water right applications we're talking about here. And paragraph A, it says a year-round reduction in flow of 9.8 CFS, and then parens, the reduction will likely be higher as discussed below, end parens, resulting from development of the projects as proposed is a significant share of the 600 CFS. Again, when we look at, and when you talk about reduction in flow, you're talking about reductions in the Snake River above Swan Falls?
Yes.
What portion of the 9.8 CFS would be attributable to existing water rights that, including the Orchard water right or the Shekinah water rights. Wouldn't that be the annualized diversion rate for, associated with those existing rights?
If they were among the permits being approved, yes.
So it wouldn't be as in paragraph B, where the report states the effects of pumping will reach outside the consolidated hearing study area to tap groundwater supplies, thereby ultimately further reducing inflow to the Snake River. Wouldn't you agree that as to existing water rights that are being proposed for transfer, that wouldn't be a further reduction in inflows to the Snake River? To the extent that those water rights, the impacts of pumping are already tributary to the Snake River above Swan Falls.
That's correct.
Then I believe you testified in response to questions from Mr. Sabanko, and let me know if I'm not pretty close on this, but that when you consider the interaction between the study area and the critical groundwater area, there probably is no available water for appropriation to support new uses. Do you remember that statement? Would you consider these existing groundwater rights for irrigation, where they're proposed for irrigation to irrigation transfers, to be new uses that would be subject to that qualification that there's no available water for appropriation?
I believe as far as the Orchard transfer is concerned, it would be the same water because that water is currently being diverted from the critical area. So it's inside the boundaries of what we believe the study area should be. The Shekinah is new diversion being moved in. And while it's true the impact on the Snake River wouldn't change, it would change the impact in that new study area by further reduction of, or additional reduction within that area.
Basically moves the location of impacts around in the aquifers area.
Correct.
Existing impacts.
Of existing impacts, yes.
And in talking about the Swan Falls minimum flows, I believe you stated that you believe, you understand that the state has an obligation to meet those minimum flows in satisfaction of the Swan Falls Agreement. Agree with that?
Yes.
And would you agree that the Department of Water Resources does that primarily by administering the water rights that were appropriated under the Trust Water Appropriation Rules in priority?
I think at least one of the methods, yes.
What other methods would there be?
Well, I don't know that they fully developed their plate of methods yet because so far they haven't had to take any action to restore the flow, if you will, from a time when it was going below the minimum. And I guess that's the part of the plan that we don't yet know, other than the storage that they bought in Palisades.
To date, the only time that's happened when they thought they might have to administer rights, they sent notices to surface water users that were junior in the Snake River about Swan Falls. Is that right?
Sent notices to surface water users, then you may have sent them to groundwater users also. I just don't recall.
But as to and the Swan Falls Agreement, I believe was 1984 vintage, do you recall?
Yes.
And part of that agreement, Idaho Power Company subordinated to existing water rights, including groundwater rights with priority dates prior to Swan Falls Agreement. Is that correct? Or date 1981.
As I recall, there are a couple of priority dates that are subordinated to depending on conditions with the individual rights, but there are some that are subordinated to, yes.
Would you would you assume that 1963 vintage, 1967 vintage, 72, 74, and 80 rides would, Idaho Power would be subordinated to those water rates?
I would think so, yes.
I don't have any other questions.
Okay. Ms. Atkins, question?
No questions, thank you.
Wayne?
No.
Jeff? Redirect, Mr. Simpson.
I think just one redirect, Mr. Hearing Officer. Mr. Shaw. There's been a lot of discussion in your testimony regarding the reasonableness of the study boundary and that the department was supposed to, quote, define the study boundary. I'd ask that Mr. Shaw be handed Exhibit 2 of the Mayfield exhibit, which is the IDWR staff memo. Mr. Shaw, do you have that? Okay. And then on the first page, it has a area called the overview, and under that it describes the information requested. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay. And if you could read into the record number one under that.
Suggest and justify a study boundary.
Okay. So would it be fair to state that the department, your understanding is that the department was supposed to suggest a study area boundary, but that the parties were in a position to take objection to whatever the department suggested?
That was my understanding.
And Mr. Smack will ask you a number of questions about unappropriated water and whether if there's water available for one day or for one week. Does that determine whether there's sufficient water to be classified as unappropriated? Do you recall that line of questioning?
I think his question was the other way, if the minimum flow was going to be violated for one day or one week instead of water availability.
You're right, Mr. Shaw. You remember better than I do. With respect to groundwater and the movement of groundwater and the timing of groundwater appearing as surface water in hydraulically connected sources, does that complicate the issue with respect to your view managing the river to satisfy the minimum flows at Murphy Gauge?
Yes, it does.
That's all the questions I have.
Okay. Mr. Semenko, recross.
No, thank you.
Mr. Smith.
John Kramer.
Ms. Atkins.
Mr. Shepard.
No.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. Shall we come back tomorrow?
Can we talk about what we think we have left? I would hope we get done tomorrow.
Well, morning.
Yeah, not morning.
I would hope so.
I guess it depends on what we have left, though. So, Mr. Young's up next, then? Yeah. And all we have is Norm. So.
Then you have a chance.
That's all.
Rebuttal.
Yeah, if we need rebuttal, it's going to be very brief, though.
So hopefully we can finish by noon tomorrow.
It's all up to Norm.
Thanks for the efficiency of council. We'll rely on Mr. Young to be as succinct as possible.
No, it's all up to the norms.
For brevity, you mean?
Yes.
Is that a challenge that is probably unachievable?
Do two norms make a mean?
I'm calling their cards.
All right, we're off the record.